Oh, we have to bring the stupid cat for a stupid injection, stupid injection, stupid injection,
Oh, we
stupid
have to bring the
injection,
stupid
stupid
cat for a
injection,
stupid
stupid
injection,
injection, stupid injection, stupid injection,
Oh, we
stupid
have to bring the
injection, stupid
cat for a
injection,
stupid
stupid
injection,
injection, stupid injection, stupid injection,
Oh, we
stupid
have to bring the
injection, stupid
cat for a
injection,
stupid
stupid
injection,
injection, stupid injection, stupid injection, stupid injection, stupid injection,
Oh, we have
stupid
to bring the
injection,
stupid
stupid
cat for a
injection,
stupid
stupid
injection,
stupid injection, stupid injection, stupid
He
injection,
joined me at a
stupid
tremendously exciting moment. I'm making a podcast. I'm recording episode 97 of Into Your Head. And I'm sitting here at my computer, desk. And I've got my computer on the computer desk, and I'm not using my laptop on this occasion. I'm not sitting where I often do on the kitchen counter with my laptop close at hand, talking into a portable recording device. I've decided to forego the portability for the day. I'm going to talk directly into my computer, and you're going to be grateful for it because it produces a greater sound quality, as far as I'm concerned. The quality of the sound is greatly improved upon when I strap myself to the computer and restrict myself to this portion of the upstairs of my house. I hope you're grateful. But to me, it's frankly like being in prison. I feel confined and restricted. All I have to eat is bread and butter and two bottles of Red Bull to drink. And I'm not even allowed to write letters because the printer has run out of ink. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he's not counting his blessings. He doesn't sound very grateful for what he has. Well, I'm not. Who would I be grateful to? I would be grateful to myself because I bought all this stuff. I bought this computer for myself, and I bought this recording equipment and this bottle of Red Bull and the other one. I bought them all for myself. So if I were to be grateful for that, I would have to be grateful to myself. And that's called pride, and that's a sin in most major religions. In most major religions, pride is a sin. You're not allowed to be proud of yourself. You're allowed to do things that would instill pride in a normal person who allowed him or herself to become pride in herself. But you're not allowed to actually have the pride. So you can do prideful things, but not take the credit for them. So basically, what you have to do is do excellent works, do great things, but pretend someone else did them. If I help a man to recover his legs, to grow his legs back, I invent a cure for missing legs. I'm a doctor, and I cure 1,000 men and women from having no legs, and I allow them to grow their legs back. I'm not allowed to take pride in that. I have to say someone else did it. If someone tries to give me the Nobel Prize for Health, I'll say, that's not mine. You're giving that to the wrong person. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not even a doctor. I deliver cat food for a living. I did go through medical school at one point for several years, and train as a doctor, but that was just a hobby. It's not my full-time job, so I don't know what you're talking about. It's got nothing to do with me whatsoever, in any way, shape or form whatsoever, entirely. Nothing to do with me, so leave me alone. In fact, if you come after me trying to give me that medical achievement prize again, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to go after you for all, every penny you've got, and then I'm going to donate them, all the money that I win off you, to charity. I'll donate it to a charity for amputees, although of course the charity for amputees will have nothing to spend it on, because the whole amputee problem has been cured now. But they'll probably push it into some other charity, people who have too many legs as a result of being over-medicated by inexperienced doctors who are prescribing this new drug that I invented, except it wasn't me that lets people grow their legs back. And some of them, of course, something always goes wrong with a small percentage of people with these medical developments. So there's probably going to be some people who are going to turn into effectively human octopuses. But they can make a living as that. I mean, there's a good old-fashioned freak show. They can go into a freak show, and that's not to say that people who have eight legs are freaks. It's perfectly normal for a certain percentage of the population to have eight legs. It's just that usually most of the beings within that percentage of the population are octopuses. It's not normal for humans to fall within that category. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's not as if it's illegal or anything to have extra limbs. If a fella going down the street is seeing by the police having three legs, the policeman isn't allowed to go up to him and say, you seem to have an extra leg there, what's going on there? I'm going to have to haul you in for questioning because there's something suspicious about that. No, the police can't do that, unless they suspect it's a false leg in which they're hiding 8 kilos of cannabis, and happens to be a jurisdiction in which cannabis is illegal to be in possession of. Well, if that's the case, then they can go ahead. But you can't just charge someone with having too many legs. Not directly, anyway. You can charge them with concealing stuff in their extra leg, which in that case isn't really a leg. It's a fake leg, which is an entirely different thing whatsoever. Octopuses don't have fake legs. You don't see octopuses going around with eight legs and a wooden leg as well, because not all of their legs work quite so effectively as each other. That would be ridiculous. Octopuses. No one goes around medicating octopuses anyway, unless they're in the charge of a zoo. Because especially, they're not an endangered species anyway. The zoo shouldn't need to look after octopuses and medicate them. Unless they're... How many octopuses are there left? I don't know. Let's see now. What's the world... I'll have a look on Google now, and we'll see what the world octopus population is. World octopus population. Let's see. It's not meant to provide an accurate... Blah, blah, blah. Something, something. 3.3 million. Oh, no, that's not right. How many octopuses are there? I don't know. I can't find the answer. It's probably listed under some other word. They're probably called... It's the sea cat. It's probably the generic term for them. I'm probably using the posh scientific term, octopus. It's probably a sea cat, or an eight-legged sea cat. It's probably the slang that's used. I don't approve of slang. As far as I'm concerned, people should use proper language. And if you need to create a slang word for something, if the slang word is good enough, it should be a proper word, and it shouldn't need to be a second unofficial language. It should be go straight into proper language, or not into any language at all. That's not to say that I have anything against F words and S words and words like that. All I'm saying is that the system needs to be revised. So that when the word is first created by someone, they submit it. We've all got internet now. We can submit any new words we think of or find ourselves using unintentionally. Submit them to some authorized individual or firm who'll review the word and decide whether it can become a proper word or whether it's not to be used at all. Either one or the other. No in between. No in the slang crap. As far as I'm concerned. Now, there's being an editorial review of the opening song from this week's episode of Into Your Head. You may remember it involves me singing that we have to bring our stupid cat for its stupid injections. At the editorial review meeting, it was decided that the word stupid in relation to my wife's cat, our cat, is considered inappropriate. So I've made some alterations to the song. So here's the new version of the stupid cat injection song. Here goes. test, Mensa intelligence test.
It's time to take our above average kitten for its official Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
It's time to take our above average kitten for its official Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
It's time to take our above average kitten for its official Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
It's time to take our above average kitten for its official Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa
intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
Mensa intelligence test.
John, it's a tremendously exciting moment. I've run out of steam. I'm tired and I've nothing to say. So basically what I'm going to do here is reproduce some vintage material from classic Into Your Heads that you've known and loved. Basically I'm going to put in some old stuff in here and then we'll come back with another cat song or something and a voicemail and then that'll be it. So I hope that's to your I hope that meets your approval. If it doesn't, I'm afraid you'll just have to go and strangle a cat, I suppose. If you're the sort of person who goes and strangles a cat because they don't like an episode of a podcast, and you're not really the type of person I want listening to this show, to be perfectly honest. Although I'll take what I can get. I've been going for 2 years now, and if the only people I can get listening to the show are the people who strangle cats, I suppose I'll have to take them. There's probably at least 300 people in the world who fall within that group, that sector, so to speak. They probably have a few different they probably have a few different key things in common. The people who strangle cats, they probably also, their favourite colour is yellow, and they like buses. So I could say I'm aiming this podcast at people who like buses and the colour yellow, and we could ignore the cat strangulation thing and just put that down to coincidence and say, I don't know anything about the listeners' cat strangling interests or lack of interests, and I could just say that I just aim the podcast at people who like buses in yellow. So I think that's what we'll do. So thank you for listening, all of you out there in the yellow buses admiring quadrant. I thank you very much for your attention, and I hope you enjoy this piece of vintage Into Your Head, and good evening. Tremendously exciting moment. I'm sitting at my computer. I'm doing the usual thing, talking into the microphone to you and recording a podcast. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he always does that. He says, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment, and then he says, I'm recording a podcast, which is completely blatantly obvious, and there's absolutely no reason for him to explain that to us at all. Well, for one thing, I wasn't explaining to you or just saying it. I wasn't patronising you. I just said, I'm recording a podcast. I didn't explain what recording a podcast meant, so I wasn't explaining it at all. I was just saying. It was just a statement of fact. And secondly, the fact that I do this all the time doesn't make it any less exciting. That's not to say that it's a tremendously exciting moment, but the fact that I repeat this over and over and say it every time, it does not lessen the exciting level, if any, of this moment. So basically you're talking absolute crap. You don't know what you're talking about. You come on to me and you won't even let me talk for more than 15 seconds without coming in with this stuff about how I'm repeating myself and talking crap. Well, if you hear me out, do me the courtesy of listening through this segment until I'm finished, and until I've made my points, until I've said what I have to say, and then make your judgments, and then make them somewhere else. Don't go making them to me. I don't want to hear it. I've no interest in listening to you grunting and basically going on about some little piffling little complaint that you might have about me or what I do. You probably think this is just some little I don't know, some little blah blah blah. Oh, you probably think I've just stumbled there, and that I've made a mess of the whole thing, and that I wasn't able to get my point through. Well, you're absolutely fucking wrong about that. I can tell you, that was a demonstration. I was showing you what this podcast would be like if you were running it, because basically you're an idiot. You come in here and you take over my podcast, you put on the headset and you sit in front of the computer and you press record, and basically you come out with nothing, because that's what you've got. You've got nothing. You're an asshole. Your parents are assholes. So are your grandparents. Now your great grandfather, he was okay. He fought in wars and stuff, and he invented ice cream as well. After the war was over, he came back and said, "Cripes, it's got very hot here during the 1930s. Maybe it's some sort of global warming that started up. I better invent some sort of cold." Confectionery item that will cool people down. And that's your answer to everything. You and your ancestors, you see this big global warming thing starting, and your answer is to come up with a dairy based product that cools people down momentarily and stops them being hungry. Well, that's not an answer to life's problems. You can't go around stuffing things into cones or between wafers and pouring them into people's mouths and expect them to just forget about everything then and just say, oh, the problem is over now. The problem isn't over. The global warming is continuing. I don't know if you've noticed, it's very hot at the moment, and there's a lot of people getting wet in various parts of the world, and there's a lot of people getting snowed on. And I can tell you that the snow, that's another thing. When the snow lands, it's all great when it lands on your shoulders and it's all fluffy and you can make little jokes about having dandruff. But when that melts, you're going to get wet as well. So it might as well be rain as well as snow. And if you don't die of frostbite, you're going to die of hypothermia from being wet. Because you can't dry yourself off because you spent all your money on an ice cream van and an ice cream invention machine. You bought an ice cream invention machine because you were too lazy to invent the ice cream yourself, so you got a little automated thing and you pressed a button that says invent something now, and it invented an ice cream machine. And you weren't able to build the actual ice cream machine. It printed out these plans for you, but you couldn't make head nor tail of them. They were just gobbledygook to you. Because, like I said, you're an idiot. Now, I say you, I'm obviously talking about your great-grandfather. But you're his descendant. You're responsible for his actions. You're his representative in the current time zone. If so to speak, and you're an asshole because your great grandfather was an asshole. But even if he wasn't, you'd be an asshole anyway. Now, obviously, I say all this in jest. I don't think you're an asshole at all. I think I assume you're a fine, upstanding member of the community. I don't know you, the listener. I don't know your great grandfather either. But I could probably look him up if he gave me his name and told me a bit about him. But why would I want to do that? I've no fucking interest in what your great grandfather did. He was probably a paedophile or something, or I don't know. He probably used to strangle cats for a living, or just as a hobby, which is even worse. I mean, at least if you're doing it for a living, you're doing it to pay the bills. But your great grandfather was strangling cats all day, every day, like there's no tomorrow. He lived off welfare. He just spent his days. He spent his days strangling cats, and at night he'd go around trying to make out that he invented ice cream when he didn't. And basically, the only thing he's got going for him is that he spent a couple of years at war. But once that was over, that was it. That was all he contributed to it, to the world. He decided, I've fought in the war. I can just go home now and strangle cats for the rest of my life, and it'll all balance out because it's karma. The karma of strangling cats is balanced out by the karma of me saving the world from the Jews, or not the Jews, the Nazis. They're the baddies. The Jews were excellent people. The Nazis were evil, Satan worshipping scumbags led by Hitler. And actually, it was all Hitler's fault. He was leading them all. He hypnotized everybody, and they all followed Hitler around like the Pied Piper of Hamilton, and went, "Hitler, tell me what to do next." And Hitler went, "Oh, go and put some people in." away in a gas chamber and murder them, and they'll reply to Hitler, I'd rather not do that, Mr. Hitler. I don't like killing people, and I don't really think these people deserve to be gassed. And Hitler will go, well, I'm the boss here. You elected me. You'll damn well do what you're told. Otherwise, I'm going to make you go home and strangle cats for the rest of your life. And I'll tell everyone it's your hobby. I'll tell them I'm not paying you for it. So you'll sound even worse then, because I'll tell them that you strangle cats just as purely as a pastime, because you could take pleasure from it. And that's the sort of bastard that Hitler could be. He'd get people wrapped around their fingers by threatening to tell everyone that they strangle cats for a hobby. So there you go. It just goes to show there's a lot of bad people in the world, if there's people like him around. Then there was Saddam Hussein as well. He had a beard. It wasn't a real beard. It was a real beard, but he shaved it off eventually. And then he just went back to having a moustache. Moustaches are like a little mini beard that you just keep stored up under your nose so that you can still access the rest of your face. It's just that the area between your nose and your mouth is obscured by hair, but the rest of your face is still there, and you can still be used. And of course you can shave off the moustache at any time should you need to access the part of your face between your nose and your mouth, because that can be a useful feature to have sometimes. You can make there are certain expressions that you can't do if part of your face is obscured by hair. So perhaps if you lead a less than emotional life, or if you're not an actor, you don't need to make those expressions. So that's why you grow a moustache to the side. I don't use this part of my face at all. I've absolutely no need for it, so I'm just going to cover it up, and that'll save me washing it. I'll just make sure not to do a Hitler moustache, because that'll probably look bad. People don't like looking like Hitler, and they take offence when they see someone who looks like Hitler, because it's not that they confuse him for Hitler, they just think that's in bad taste. You're pretending to be Hitler, or you're mimicking his style. Once a certain facial hairstyle is adopted by an evil dictator, then that's it. That facial hairstyle can't be used again. It's a bit like the name Jesus. Once Jesus used the name Jesus as his name, or his parents gave it to him, no one else could be called Jesus ever again. If you have a kid tomorrow and you go and say, I want it named Jesus, people will give you a lot of funny looks. They'll say, you can't call a child Jesus. That's Jesus. That name is taken. That's one of those names that you can only use once. Well, it's exactly the same with Hitler-style moustaches. Hitler had a Hitler-style moustache, and it's a very bad idea for anyone else to have a Hitler-style moustache. So don't give your child a Hitler-style moustache or the name Jesus, because they won't match for a start. The facial hair doesn't match the name Jesus, because Jesus had a beard. Although, come to think of it, Jesus had a beard, and if you shaved off his beard and just left a moustache, you could probably make it look like a Hitler-style moustache. Well, of course, that was fine at the time, because Hitler hadn't come along yet. But Jesus should have known that Hitler was going to come along, or he should have checked with his father, God, because God is all-knowing. God would have known that sort of thing. If Jesus had bothered to ask his father whether there was going to be anyone in the future who would have a Hitler-style moustache and be called Hitler or Jesus and be an evil Satan-worshipping scumbag, then God could have just looked up his mental file and said, actually, there's going to be this guy in the mid-20th century. He's going to be a right hell bollocks. He's basically going to try and take over the world and kill everyone who he doesn't like, and dye everyone's hair blonde, and he's going to have a moustache just like the one that you have, except you've got a beard attached to yours, so it's not obvious. Jesus, son, if I were you, I'd either keep the beard or shave the whole damn thing off. Don't have a Hitler-style moustache, because, for one thing, it'll cause confusion. If you have a guy going around saying he's the son of God and he's here to turn everyone into Christians, but you've got a Hitler-style moustache, that's just going to cause a hell of a lot of confusion. I mean, I'm confused already just describing the situation. Got Hitler and the beard and Jesus all mingled in into one story, and I'm going to have to go back and write the show notes for this in a minute, and I can tell you, Jesus Christ, it's going to be confusing. That's all I can say.
Hi, this is Brian Jude from New Jersey in the United States of America. I've been listening to this show for a while because I've often wondered how Neil O'Carroll can claim to be into your head, or into my head, or into anyone's head for that matter. And after listening for a while, I think I figured it out. He must be into our heads because he's obviously out of his head. Always talking about cats and absurd assessments of religion, claiming that we're thinking of things that we'd never think of, yet acting on them anyway, and then going on all these obscure tangents that have absolutely nothing to do with anything and make no sense at all. And I'm actually quite happy that he is out of his head, because otherwise his podcast would probably not be so entertaining. So I thank God every day that Neil O'Carroll is into my head and not in his, and so I'm going to keep on listening for as long as I can listen, or as long as I can keep talking, or whichever comes first.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.
Now, you join me just in time for a urination session of the week. And this is probably the last urination session for a while that's going to come from the main bathroom, because we're going to rent out some rooms in our house, and those guests and lodgers who will be sharing our house with us will have the use of the main bathroom, and I'll probably use the ensuite in our bedroom so that I don't have to mix with them and have to share my germs with them, because if they caught a cold or something off me, they could sue me. And I mean, they are coming from abroad, so they're not going to be accustomed to the Irish climate. I mean, why would they be? You can't. Foreigners aren't expected to acclimatise before they come to the country. I mean, that's why you don't see the local tanning bed shop doesn't have some kind of a greenhouse that you can set it to the settings of whatever country you're going to go to and spend a couple of hours in there before you depart for the airport. No, but I mean, if you're going to Mars or somewhere to settle, you'd be expected to do that. And I mean, if you go diving, when you come back, you're expected to reacclimatise. You go into a sort of a tank of some sort, and it's pressurised in the same way that the place where you came from was. I mean, that's probably what foreigners expect here. They expect to arrive at the airport and have a declimatising tank that's set to the same atmospheric settings as the atmosphere in their own country, so they can sit there for a while and relax until they venture out into the Irish atmosphere. And as far as I'm concerned, that's expecting a bit much. I mean, they already get duty-free, unless they're coming from within the European Economic Community, which is now known as the European Union. But I call it the European Economic Community for short. I do realise that's actually a longer name, but back in the 1970s, it was called the European Economic Community, and it changed its name twice. So if I were going to learn the new name that was used in the 80s and the other new name that was used in the 90s, then that would be four extra words to learn. So I decided to shorten it by just sticking to the original three-word title. So it's the European Economic Community, and anyone who has a problem with that can just distract me by reminding me that I'm supposed to be doing my urination session now and nothing has come out. So I'll try and concentrate and see this and see if I can muster up something. I have drunk a lot of water today. I'm on a diet and I'm trying to intake a lot of water rather than any other substances. And the water does eventually come out. So that is my hope for this segment, that it'll come out and make a bit of a splash. So to speak. The other alternative that could happen here, and which frankly I haven't planned for, is that nothing comes out. And then I'm left with a non-urination session of the week. And frankly, that's embarrassing. I mean, I as a semi-professional podcaster, I can't be having that sort of thing. So I'll probably just wipe the tape if that happens, and then I'll record a new urination session when I'm more in need of a urination. But you won't know about that, so really there's no need for me to worry about that too much, apart from the lost time that I've spent in making this unused recording. But I suppose I can just tape over and it'll use up the same time again. I mean, that's why we have digital recording devices, such as this one, the Olympus WS 200S. Now that's a bit annoying, because the S looks like a 5 And if I were to write down the letter S, I would expect to make it clear, and so you'd know it was the letter S and not a 5. Because you just put a straight horizontal line across the top of it, and that distinguishes the 5 from the S. I mean, it's not that complicated. But no, they have to make it indistinguishable. So I have a WS 200S or 205, depending which way you look at it. It's almost like a hologram, I suppose. I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they put a hologram in the title, and they decided that in some markets it'll be called a 200S, and in some markets it'll be called a 205. And perhaps they've realised that in some parts of the world, people's eyes are slanted a slightly different way, so they'll see the left of the hologram, and everyone else will see the hologram from the right. So they'll see the 200S, and that'll be appropriate because that's what it's the apparatus is called in their part of the world. So I suppose that's pretty clever. Still, what do you call the hologram? Do you call it a 200S hologram or a 205 hologram? Or are you going to give that a different name in each continent as well? I mean, that's just overkill. So it's 5 minutes and 5 seconds into my urination session, and nothing's come yet. And I'm coming to realise that it's because I'm not concentrating. I mean, I can feel the liquid building up. Just above my scrotum, but if I concentrate too much on other topics, it just doesn't come. I mean, I have to push it out. So, I mean, it's not like when I'm drunk and it just comes out. So let's concentrate for a moment on my pissing. I'll count to 10 and hope it comes out. 1, 2, 3, 4, here we go, 5, I don't know if you can hear that, it's not that loud, but I wasn't aiming for volume, frankly. I was aiming to empty my bladder. I mean, if it doesn't matter if it makes much sound, I mean, it's not really a function of the body to record entertainment for you. I mean, it's to empty my bladder so that I don't die, and so that I get rid of all excess fluids that are inside me. So there we go, that's sorted out and taken care of. Now I'll just flush more water into the toilet to push the urine water down further. I mean, you can't just put water into the toilet from your urination apparatus and just expect it to go down if it's on the cord. You have to flush it down with 2 liters or so of water, and that's what I've just done. And now I've washed my hands with water. Because you can't, when your hands come in contact with water, you have to rinse it off with other water, otherwise you're being unhygienic, and that's not a proper way to behave in this day and age, in 2007, or 2200L, as I suppose it's called on some continents, but by the manufacturer of this apparatus, but we won't go back into that. Now, you join me at a very interesting time in my personal development, and it stemmed from being at home alone for a day today. Joanne is off teaching, and I have the day off, so I have a lot of time on to myself. And in fact, I'm now in the 7th hour of that time alone, and I've just picked up a piece of dog food from Chico's Bowl. It's a pellet of dry dog food, and I'm toying with the idea of tasting it to see what it's like. Now, it's a brown pellet. It has the texture of coal, but it doesn't have any smell whatsoever. And I'm told it contains a lot of nutrients, and I need nutrients. I'm on a diet, and I need all the nutrients I can get. So it's probably low fat. So I think I am going to try it. So here goes. I think I'll lick it first. Here you go. Now, again, no taste whatsoever of it. I'm beginning to think it's a placebo dog food pellet. It would explain a lot if these dog foods that I'm buying, they're very cheap, so maybe it is a placebo. It could be just an empty shell with absolutely nothing in it whatsoever, in which case it's pretty much the same as the white bread that you and I eat every day. It's just empty.
devoid of any substance other than the texture that makes up the empty shell. So I'm now worried about my dog. If this is what he's eating, I think it is what he's eating, because I found it in his bowl. In fact, it's not the first time that I found this stuff in his bowl. So, and I put it there. So he probably is. It probably is what he's eating. I mean, he doesn't have any other sources of food, as far as I know. But I suppose in the interest of science, I better go ahead and take a bite. And that's interesting. I'm gonna spit it out because it tastes like very hard cardboard, and I don't really like cardboard. I think I might be allergic to it. It always comes out in a rash whenever I eat cardboard, so I'm not going to eat that. But it's interesting to know what my pet has to eat, and everyone should do it and see what their dog or cat is eating, because it's very important. And my cats like to eat tuna, so I've tasted tuna many times. Whenever I get a new brand, I taste it for them. So there's still a bit of grit in my mouth. I suppose it's no harm to swallow it. I mean, you have to swallow things sometimes in the interest of entertainment. But yeah, so that's the dog food all sorted out. Now, he's got a bowl of water as well, but I don't feel the need to taste that. It's from the same tap from which I get my own drinking water. And as long as the bowl is kept clean, it's not going to be any different from the water that's in this glass here that I'm drinking out of. So I have no problem with that. And we do have some dental treats for the dog to keep his teeth in good order. They're kind of like little bones, and I presume they've got toothpaste or something in them. I don't know, but he loves them, and he munches on them for a while, and they supposedly clean his teeth. But I'm not going to try those either, because I don't know what's in them. I mean, there's such a thing as going too far. But it's very interesting. Happy indeed, very interesting. So it is. So we've reached a bit of a gap here in the show. I don't seem to have anything lined up. I've no internet here at the moment. It's been off all morning, so I can't look anything up. I'd read you some articles from the newspaper, but I threw it in the bin afterwards, finished with it, so that's no use either. Let's see, what can I do for you? I don't know. I can just sit here and we'll count the passage of time between us. Well, there goes a few seconds there. Stuff is stuck in my teeth. It actually has the texture, this dog food, of a digestive biscuit that's got stuck in my teeth. But it doesn't taste like digestive biscuit. So there's some more information for you there. It'd be interesting to see what comes out in the toilet now when we examine it.
Oh, we decided to reschedule Kofi's injections. I mean, Mensa Intelligent Act till tomorrow. Till tomorrow.
Oh, we decided to reschedule Kofi's injections.
I mean, Mensa Intelligent Act till tomorrow.
We decided to reschedule Kofi's injections.
I mean, Mensa Intelligent Act till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow. Till tomorrow. Till tomorrow. Till tomorrow.